You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In just over 2 weeks' time, the FIFA World Cup is set to begin across North America. This comes, however, in the face of increasing heats due to climate change that could threaten the well-being of players and fans and force the game and competition to change. This is rather complicated, however, when we look at the role that FIFA and the competition themselves play in climate change, with serious concerns of greenwashing and sportswashing. With World Cups being high-emission events and FIFA President Gianni Infantino maintaining ties with leaders such as US President Donald Trump, who often antagonizes attempts to reduce climate change. I spoke with professional teaching fellow at the University of Auckland, Dr. Chris McMillan, about how this temperature will affect athletes and the role the competition and FIFA have to play. Could you explain the issues around temperature that athletes will be facing at the upcoming World Cup?
Yeah, there's a range of issues there around both extreme temperatures, but also extreme weather in general. And it's difficult to put one conclusion around it because the tournament's been held across three different countries in a number of different kind of environments. So what you might get in Canada could be quite different to southerly regions in the US or in Mexico. But we're looking at, research suggests around about a quarter of games could exceed heat safety limits, which is, you know, there was a World Cup played in 1994 in the US, but the risk has sort of extreme temperatures has doubled by some estimates since that time. So what we're seeing is a real risk to athletes for heat stress, but that risk also extends to fans and to workers as well, who both of whom might be more at risk or less more exposed to extreme heat.
And when we're looking at that heat stress, especially when comparing to, you know, past World Cups, what does this kind of say about the health and well-being of players, both at this World Cup and going forward?
Yeah, I think the FIFA players' unions have been quite forthright on this. They think there's a real threat to players who aren't being taken seriously here. So around about a quarter of games could exceed sort of heat safety limits, particularly when we're looking at what they call wet bulb globe temperature, which is a measure of heat stress that combines humidity and heat. And essentially, it's when you're looking at the point where the body loses its ability to cool itself down, putting players under heat stress, particularly when we look at heat stress is not just high temperatures, but high humidity as well. And once that gets really high and players stop losing the ability to cool themselves down, then they really are in danger. And while FIFA's put a couple of measures in with 3-minute cooling breaks at sort of quarter time and three-quarter time, the players are really suggesting that not only could they experience health risks, but also that perhaps it'll just slow the game down. Not only are you having these breaks, but players become more dehydrated and more sluggish. It makes it harder for them to recover. So even coaches are looking at ways in which they prepare players for these conditions. I think the English men's coach was looking at installing saunas at players' houses. And in terms of the future, sometimes climate change and climate change in sport is looked at as something that might happen here. But we're really looking at the future in action. And while North America might be a particular site of heat risk, I think we're seeing more and more tournaments that are being affected by heat. And we're starting to have to think about ways in which players can adapt, but also tournaments can adapt. And in terms of football, it might be that we're seeing the end of Summer World Cups.
I mean, building on that, right, when we think about the way that, you know, the sport now has to turn and face with climate change, what does this kind of say about the way that typically maybe the public might see, like you said, climate change in sport as a thing of the future? What does it say about the way that they're interfacing right now?
Yeah, I think the World Cup's going to be a shock for a lot of people because in the background, scientists and advocates have been, you know, raising this issue. But it's a whole different thing when you're watching a football game that's actually being delayed effectively by climate change and seeing players collapse perhaps because of climate change. And there we sort of see sport as one of those ways in which we meet climate change in a more material, accessible kind of way. That when you see your sports clubs, sporting facilities flooding, or it's just too hot to play, you really are experiencing climate change on the front lines in ways in which you might not otherwise. And so I think what a lot of fans are going to experience, and it's of course unpredictable, but if we look back at the 2025 Club World Cup held in the US last year, there are a number of long delays, some leading up to 2 hours, both because of extreme heat, but also threats of thunder or storms. And so the viewing experience of the World Cup could be really quite different this time.
And of course, you touched on it before, but a big player in all of this is, of course, FIFA specifically. Mm. What kind of policy and stance on climate does FIFA currently have, and how is that kind of affecting where we're at now?
So we've got two kind of directions there. One is the way in which FIFA is immediately responding to changing conditions and putting in cooling breaks, which many would suggest are insufficient to actually cool the body. In terms of environmental sustainability, FIFA does kind of talk a big game about identifying a climate emergency and reducing emissions. But this tournament is predicted to generate the most emissions of any global sporting event, well beyond the last one in Qatar in 2022. And that's because of the amount of travel that fans will have to will do to get to North America and travel within the continent, but also because the tournament keeps expanding. We're up to 48 teams, which means more fans and more travel. Now, it could be because of sort of the geopolitics and the Trump White House that fewer fans travel. But I think the contradiction is the more successful the tournament is for organizers, as in the more fans arrive, the more emissions it creates. So the more environmentally damaging the tournament is.
And kind of expanding the role of FIFA here, what we've seen over the last couple of years, especially with the last World Cup in Qatar, and now this World Cup with Gianni Infantino interfacing directly with US President Donald Trump. US President Trump has, you know, a history of not being super on board with a lot of responses to the climate crisis. What does it kind of say that the sporting body is interfacing with this kind of politics in the face of these health problems?
Yeah, so you can see FIFA, you know, if you look up their website and their policies, they do, as I say, talk a big game about climate change. They say that they're taking it seriously. But their approach really does sort of speak to what climate denial often looks like now, where organizations talk about taking climate change seriously, but then their actions suggest almost the opposite. And as I was mentioning before, these tournaments keep expanding. The next one's across three different continents and six nations. But also in 2024, FIFA signed a partnership with Aramco, the Saudi oil giant. And the 2034 tournament will be in Saudi Arabia. As you mentioned, the US administration's has rolled back a number of climate change initiatives. So what we're seeing is their actions, both in how they plan tournaments, but also the organizations that they're investing in, perhaps take an entirely different angle to what they're talking about when it comes to climate change.
So then if we're looking at kind of FIFA as maybe a body that's doing either sports washing or greenwashing, how does this kind of What image does this kind of paint about the role of football going forward? Is this just the way that it's going to be with heat, or can we expect to see any sort of change or progress?
I think we've got a couple of things here. If the question is this just going to be the way it is with heat? Yes, and worse. I think we're going to see more and more tournaments being impacted by heat stress. And perhaps more importantly, while top athletes might be able to deal with this kind of heat, that's not the majority of football or majority of sport, which is played by amateurs and recreational facilities that don't have shade or roofs and aren't able to take regular hydration breaks in the same way. In terms of how sports address climate change, I think the irony is, and it's a cruel one, that the more we've seen climate change take an effect, the more climate change action and discourse seems to be fading away. In that previous tournaments have had, you know, quite substantial environmental policy around them, whereas this one and the Club World Cup, there's very little. Most of the sort of policy and responsibilities is passed on to host cities, despite them having very little control over the environmental impact of the tournament. I think, to give you a short sort of soundbite, the All Whites are playing Iran on June 16th at 1 p.m. in LA, and that game in particular, because it's played in LA and during the afternoon, might be particularly difficult. And there's also the risk of wildfires as well in the background. So a lot of this is, weather is unpredictable, even if we know that the climate is changing. But I think some people could be quite shocked by the weather conditions and how disruptive they are. And I think it's important that we see that this isn't just an aberration, but this is more of what the future of sport will be. Moreover, that the massive environmental impact of the tournament, quite possibly, obviously it depends on fan behaviour, but quite possibly the most polluting sports event in history, isn't an accident. It isn't just a matter of poor design. Instead, it's how the tournament is designed. You get fans to fly in from all the way around the world. You treat it as a tourist event. Obviously, carbon emissions are going to be very, very high. If the World Cup keeps expanding, if it keeps having more teams, more matches played in more places, then that environmental impact is just going to increase, while at the same time we're seeing games being impacted by these climate changes.
That was the University of Auckland's Chris McMillan on climate change-based temperature threats to those at the FIFA World Cup and what it means for FIFA and football.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.